Okay, so. Could you get the blue tape recorder on the desk? Let's do this. Let's sing the song that goes with this section. The section is, we're going to conclude the Pratikul and Anukul section. And it begins, well, 17A in the song sheets. 17A. Does everybody have it? Tua bhakti pratikul dharma. Okay, here we go.
Tua bhakti pratikul dharma jate ro.
Second song out of four, the final sections, Anukul and Pratikul, each have four songs, and the first line is just complemented by the additional lines. The first line is abandoning without compromise all actions contrary to your devotional service, and then he lists what is contrary to devotional service which he will abandon. I will keep company with no one opposed to devotional service, nor even look at the face of a person inimical toward Lord Gauranga. Have to live in a secluded place to do this one. I shall never reside in any place unfavorable for devotional practices. And may I never take pleasure in non-devotional works. I'll read no book opposed to pure devotion, nor listen to any explanation which disagrees with pure devotional principles. I'll never regard as sacred any place where Lord Gauranga is rejected. Any knowledge hindering pure devotional service I consider worthless. Any season which poses obstacles to the execution of devotional service shall find no favor with me, and I will consider all relatives or family members averse to pure devotion as strangers. I will abandon all desire that hinders devotion and never accept food offered to me by non-devotee atheists. I vow to completely shun whatever I know to contradict pure devotion. This I strongly promise. We could probably add some things to this list. No MTV. Probably no television at all. No video games for kids. Things that are time wasters. Because each of these things that he's shunning, they're obstacles on the path of pure devotion. So the songs that are also in this section start going into higher and higher and really high stages of bhakti. As I mentioned, these things, all these symptoms of surrender or characteristics of surrender, they're for beginning stages, intermediate stages, elevated stages, supermost elevated stages. Like there's some songs, I believe we'll encounter one where in Madhurya Ras he's rejecting Chandravali and all the associates of Chandravali and is accepting Radharani and all the associates of Radharani only. And for those of you that don't know what that means, don't worry about it. It means amongst the gopis there are right-wing and left-wing gopis. This is a very up there elevated subject. And the right-wing gopis, they're headed by Chandravali and Rupa Goswami. Particularly in his writings and dramas and so forth, indicates the transcendental transcendental competition that exists between the two groups. There's one book written by Jiva Goswami under the order of Rupa Goswami, where he describes, Rupa Goswami asked him to write a book which describes the crowning of Radharani as the queen of Vrindavan. And as elevated as Jiva Goswami's writings are in philosophy, this book goes out of sight when it comes to relishing the rasa of Radha, Radha's love for Krishna, Krishna's love for Radha, the transcendental, amazing competition between the associates of Chandravali and Radharani. Anyway, it's wonderful. Rather than, because to start to tell the story, it would take four classes to just summarize the story. It's very, very, very sweet. It's described once that Raghunath Das Goswami, in this mood of pratikul, in a very high level, Raghunath Das was sometimes living in Vrindavan at Govardhan Hill at Radhakund, and he was fasting for a long time, and one of the devotees there offered to get Raghunath Das Goswami some water. So he went to get some water, and he came back with the water in a leaf cup. And as Raghunath Das Goswami was drinking the water from the leaf cup, he noticed that the leaves were very, very large. He said, "Where did you get these specially large leaves for this leaf cup?" He was drinking. And he said, "Oh, I got these special leaves from a very large tree at the home of Chandravali." And Raghunath Das threw the cup to the ground. "How could you do this? Bring water in a leaf cup that came from Chandravali's home." It was a mood of transcendental patiko. Anything that's not in the mood of Radha. And in this drama by Jiva Goswami, it becomes very, very clear also that, anyways, it's hard to describe it in a brief way. Just the basic storyline that doesn't do the composition justice really, but it indicates this pratikul is Purnamasi sends one person to take a message to Radha that today a very special ceremony will take place where she will be crowned the queen of Vrindavan. And on the way, this messenger stops to see Mother Jasoda. And Mother Jasoda is beside herself with separation from Krishna, because she hasn't seen him for a few hours. And so she says, "If you see Krishna, can you let me know? Has he had his lunch, and is Balaram with him? Is he still wearing the special protecting what do you call those things?
Armlet
on his arm to protect him, and are the very strong cowherd boys to his left side and right side to protect him from any danger?" And anyway, and then she speaks about Radha. "I know that when you're in the forest, you may also come across Radha. Here, give her this gift." She gives some jewels and tell her that actually you are like my daughter and I have so much affection for you. She just expresses her equally motherly affection for Krishna and Radha. And she begins weeping and feelings of separation from them both. And that the messenger is all shaken by that mood that Mother Jasoda has. And on her way to see Radha, she passes a place where she sees Krishna. But she can't recognize Krishna because he's been crying and crying in separation from Radha. Anyway. And Krishna gives some gift, same, gives some message to give to Radha. Finally, the messenger arrives with the good news from Purnamasi that there will be this coronation. She tells the story of these two encounters with Jasoda and with Krishna. And they become very happy. And so the message goes back to please make all the arrangements. So two of Radha's associates, they accompany the messenger, and as they're accompanying the messenger, they come across Padma and Shaibya, who are in Chandravali's camp, and the drama starts to get very thick, because Padma and Shaibya, they're collecting flowers for Chandravali's coronation as the queen of Vrindavan. And they say, how is this possible? And she said, and then they told the whole story. As Krishna had sent message with this messenger, he saw from a distance one gopi, which he thought was Radha, because he was so much in mad love for Radha, in feelings of separation, he thought it was Radha. So he began speaking all these words of praise. And finally the gopi turned, and it wasn't Radha, it was Chandravali. And Krishna recognized it wasn't Radha. He didn't recognize it wasn't Radha. He continued speaking, but he spoke words that it became apparent to Chandravali that those words of praise were for Radha, not for her. So she became very unhappy, and she turned and walked away. And Krishna is very affectionate upon all his devotees who are surrendered to him. So he wanted to appease her. And he said, anything that you want, just say, and I will take care of that. And the assistants said, you hurt her so badly. The only thing that will satisfy her is if you crown her queen of Vrindavan. And Krishna said, okay. So they were jubilant. And then the gopis that encountered Shaibya and Padma, they went back and told Radha the news. And as she was stringing garlands and singing songs about Krishna and glorifying Krishna in different ways, the news came and Radha just dropped the garland. And her breath was very hot with anger, and all the flowers instantly wilted. And there's many, many details of these exchanges, but then she got up and just left, beside herself with grief. And how could Krishna, such a treacherous boy, how can he do this? And then a messenger comes from Krishna, Vrindadevi, and Radha's gone. His message is from Krishna. Probably Radha's heard about this, you know, it's a mistake that happened, and please help me by having her understand it's a mistake. Anyway, so it gets into this very complex mood of the different gopis, and so the gopis receive Vrinda, they don't even want to talk to her. You know, how can you break our hearts in this way without even knowing what a message is, just knowing it's probably some trick from Krishna. Anyway, it's not doing justice to describe in this way, but there's this thing that goes on between the followers of Radha and Chandravali. There's so many wonderful descriptions of Krishna Leela. Actually, Rupa Goswami writes in one drama, it's in Vidanta Madhava. This is very far from this subject, but here we go. In Vidanta Madhava, he writes in such a way that Purnamasi is having a conversation with one female. Forget who is the person who is hearing. Explaining a very different version of the birth of Chandravali and Radha and many of the gopis. So she tells the story that that Putana, when Kamsa told Putana to try to kill Krishna, for some reason, the message was to kill all the boys and kidnap all the girls. So Putana, she while still within the womb of Vrishabhanu's wife Kirtida and Chandrabhanu's wife, and I forget what her name is, they were transferred to the womb of the Vindhya hills. And because the Vindhya hills had this desire to have a son-in-law that surpassed the Himalayas, because the Himalayas had a daughter. Who was the daughter of the Himalayas? Parvati, who was married to Lord Shiva. So the Vindhya hills had been cursed. Well, they had been tricked by Agastya Muni. Once Agastya Muni was on pilgrimage, and to receive Agastya Muni, Vindhya hills bowed down. And Agastya Muni said, just stay in that position until I come back again. And he never came back again. And so Vindhya was always less. Vindhya mountains were always less than Himalayas. So Vindhya at least wanted a son-in-law that would surpass the son-in-law of the Himalayas. So to fulfill that desire, then Radha and Chandravali were transferred to the womb of the chief of the Vindhya hills, and they took their birth there. So Putana, in one of her ravage hunts for little children, because that was her thing, was killing little children, she captured Chandravali and Radha and a bunch of other gopis. And as she was flying through the air, because she was a witch, she had this ability to fly through the air, there was a curse. The chief of the Vindhya hills approached a brahmana to curse the kidnapper of his children, his daughters. So Putana knew of this curse, and so in fear of her life, as she was passing over Vrindavan, she dropped Radha and Chandravali by the places of Vrishabhanu and Chandrabhanu. And then the other gopis, they also were taken care of, they were left in the care of, or something like that, with other families, and they were actually daughters of the Vindhya hills. So both, that sometimes in Rupa Goswami's writings, Radha is referred to not only as the daughter of Vrishabhanu and Kirtida, but the daughter of the Vindhya hills. I don't know why I'm telling this story. How did I get into that? Pratikul, Chandravali and Radharani. So there's this when higher stages of bhakti are there, in a transcendental way, everything that is favorable for pleasing Krishna in a particular rasa, that is accepted. And anything that's not favorable to serving Krishna in that particular rasa, and even within Madhurya rasa, particular flavors of or moods of service within that rasa, they're rejected. So these are examples of how these things go into very high stages of trying to please Krishna. The sister-in-law and mother-in-law of Radharani, they served in the same way to enhance the pastimes of Krishna. Katila and Jatila. Jatila is the mother of Abhimanyu, the so-called husband of Radha. And Katila is the sister-in-law, or the sister-in-law of Radha, or the sister of Abhimanyu. And in so many ways, to enhance the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna, there is this rejection of Radha. Rejection of Krishna in order to enhance the feature of Radha's love and the love and separation. I'll tell another story to illustrate this. Radha was at the home, as is the custom, the young girl, when she is married, during the time when Brahma stole the calves and the cowherd boys and put them in the cave, right? You know that, everyone knows that story. So Krishna manifested himself as each of the calves and the cowherd boys, right? And that went on for 1 year. Although in Brahma's time it was one moment, in earthly time it was 1 year. 1 year passed. So Krishna went home as each of the cowherd boys to the homes of the cowherd family. And the mothers and the fathers developed an affection for those cowherd boys like they never had affection for their own son, but had affection for Krishna, because their own son was in fact now Krishna. And the cows with the calves, the same. They had affection for their calves like they had for Krishna. Well, during that 1 year, Krishna made a suggestion to his father, Nanda Maharaj. Just like Krishna made a suggestion to Nanda Maharaj that all these ingredients for Indra, Yajna, should be taken and cook them and make them an offering to Govardhan Hill. So Nanda Maharaj, wanting just to please Krishna, all right. Actually, first he said, well, half of them we can use that way. The other half we'll do the Indra Yajna. Krishna said, no, everything. All right. So like that, Krishna made a suggestion to his father. My dear Nanda Maharaj, I've consulted one astrologer, and this is a very auspicious time for marriages to be performed. So I suggest that all the cowherd boys become married to all the cowherd girls. Very well. And so marriage arrangements, although they were little, and this is not altogether uncommon in Vedic tradition, although before they're old enough to be married, a young girl and young boy are literally married, but they don't stay with one another until they're adult and grown up. So the young boys, who were Krishna, and the young girls were married, fulfilling their desire. It is during that time that Krishna, who was assuming the form of Abhimanyu, was married to Radha. And then that, after that 1 year passed, the actual Abhimanyu was considered to be the husband, future to be husband of Radha. But by arrangements of Yogamaya, actually he had never even touched Radharani by various transcendental arrangements of Yogamaya. But Jatila and Katila, they were always to enhance the Parakiya Rasa. This has nothing to do with Pratipo, but anyway. To enhance the Parakiya Rasa, the amorous love outside of the marriage arrangement, then they would always try to prevent Krishna from coming and having any association with Radha. There had been an arrangement that Srimati Radharani was given a benediction by Durvas Muni that whatever she cooked, it would taste like nectar. And whatever she cooked, it would never be the same thing or the same taste twice. And whoever ate her three things, and whoever ate her cooking would never fall ill to any disease. So when Mother Jasoda heard that, she requested her dear friend Kirtida. No. Yeah, Kirtida. They're not the wife of Chandrabhanu, the wife of Rishabhanu. Kirtida. They were very close, two families were very close to one another. Please allow your daughter to cook. But when the formal arrangement was made that she stayed at the home of Chandrabhanu, stayed at the home of Jatila and Katila, Radharani was beside herself with distress and feelings of separation. So one day in a transcendental leela, Radharani pretended to have been bitten by a snake and fell to the ground unconscious. And her friends understood the whole drama that Radharani was performing and started crying out loud, come quickly, Radharani has been bitten by a deadly serpent. So Jatila and Katila, they came and saw Radharani. There was nothing that they wanted to do in their life other than serve Radharani very nicely. And so when Radha was there looking as if she was approaching death, they were so distressed. And they went running to find a Brahmin who could counteract the poison by his mantras. So they found the girls, the girlfriends of Radha, they found one young boy who was very, very expert at mantra chanting. Very quick, come and chant the mantras. So the little boy said, of course it was Krishna, said, very well, but you have to close the door and be on the other side. So he immediately understood what had happened with Radha. And so he spoke in a very special voice. Serpent, why have you bitten this young girl? She's so innocent. And in another voice, of course, Jatila and Katila have their ear pressed to the door to hear what's going on. And Krishna knew that. So another voice, Krishna projecting another voice, saying, because that Jatila and Katila, they have prevented this girl from rendering service at the home of Nanda Maharaj and Jasoda. And so I'm taking her away from their association. And then Krishna says again in this young Brahmin's voice, oh, that is very horrible. What can be done so that the effect of this poison can be neutralized? And and in another voice, representing the serpent, Krishna says, there's only one thing. If Jatila and Katila promise that they'll never again check Radha from going to perform this service at the home of Nanda and Jasoda, then I will neutralize the effect of the poison. And so the door flies open and Jatila and Katila come in and, we're so sorry, we promise we will never do this again. Certainly Radha can render the service that has been requested her by the great Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jasoda. We promise, just do something so this poison will be neutralized. So they serve as enhancers of the loving attraction, although it seems like an obstacle. This is an even a higher stage than pratikul and anukul. It's where there is pratikul is giving up those things that are obstacles, and in these higher ecstasies of transcendental loving exchange, Yogamaya places apparent obstacles to the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna that only serve to intensify the feature of that loving attraction. So, back to our songs by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Pratikul, anukul. So we have to learn our alphabets with when it comes to accepting things favorable and rejecting things unfavorable. And one way to look at this whole structure is that if we accept things favorable for Krishna, Krishna's service, it will naturally extend into the areas of how we see our maintenance, how we see ways in which we are protected, how we dedicate ourselves to a particular course of action, like surrendering unto Krishna, and how we approach the cultivation of proper humility. I will accept those things which are favorable to maintaining myself in a humble mood, and those things which interfere with maintaining myself in a humble mood as a devotee of Krishna, I reject those things as obstacles in the path of pure devotion. So, I'm going to read now some, other, couple other things. Something about both anukul and pratikul. This is just a reminder, first thing, is just a reminder that there are these three divisions, body, mind, and words, which acceptance and rejection of things, favorable and unfavorable, in terms of speech, in terms of what we contemplate, in terms of action with our bodies. Anukul and pratikul spill into those three divisions. And I said it before, but this is a reminder. Sundarananda Vidyavinod, in his explanation of Sharanagati, says that this is actually very difficult. In order to properly execute in the matter of one's day-to-day dealings of life, it's not easy. It's not just, in other words, 15 minutes or 20 minutes in the morning you meditate like this, meditate like that, and the rest of the day you do what you like. You become God and pay me $50. There's lots of cheating like that that goes on, but to actually achieve the stage of transcendental love for Krishna following this way of Sharanagati, it takes some work. It's brahminical work, it's subtle work, but it must be performed if one wants to be a qualified recipient of Krishna's descending mercy in the form of love of God entering our hearts. Here's a short quote from Teachings of Queen Kunti. It's a book where Prabhupada is speaking about the teachings of Queen Kunti from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada speaking. This is a transcription of a lecture. In the process of surrender, Sharanagati, there are six items. The first is that one should completely depend on Krishna. The next is that one should accept everything favorable for Krishna's service. Anukulyasya sankalpa. Then he says, Anukulyena Krishna anushilanam bhaktir uttamam. A symptom of first-class bhakti, devotional service, is that one accepts everything favorable for that service. Another item of surrender is pratikulya vivarjanam, rejecting everything unfavorable to the procedures of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes the master says, don't do this. Forbidding something unfavorable. And he also recommends that which is favorable. Do this. Chant Hare Krishna. Full surrender, therefore, entails giving up unfavorable things and accepting that which is favorable. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. Furthermore, one should believe in full faith. Krishna will give me protection. And one should count oneself as one of Krishna's servants. These are some of the items of full surrender, Sharanagati, teachings of Queen Kunti, lecture. This is my notes. This applies in spiritual practices. It applies in our day-to-day life. There are things that we encounter in day-to-day life. This circumstance is very, very unfavorable for devotional service. Or this particular person is quite offensive and frankly obnoxious. I'm not going to have any confidential dealings with them. It's unfavorable. Here's another circumstance where someone has some gentle qualities. Let me see if I can share Krishna conscious understanding with them. Pratikul, anukul. So we should apply these principles in day-to-day life. Now here's some quotes from other scripture that they're expressions of the pratikul principle. Here's one from Padma Purana. Food which has been cooked by non-Vaishnavas and very degraded people, and which is not offered to Vishnu, should be considered like dog meat. Padma Purana. We reject it. We don't accept it. From Hari Bhakti Vilas, one should never associate with worldly minded people, because by such association there is destruction of the four pursuits of human life and degradation comes about. From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Text 30, chapter 31. The infatuation of bondage which accrues to a man from attachment to any other object of this world is not as complete as that resulting from attachment to a woman or the fellowship of men who are too much fond of women. Over attachment to the opposite sex is the most, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, the most debilitating of attachments. Here's another example of pratikul is Bali Maharaja's rejection of Shukracharya. And here's from the purport of a text describing that. Bali Maharaja's grave answer to Shukracharya is meaningful. Shukracharya stressed that one's material means of livelihood and one's material reputation, sense gratification, and economic development must continue properly. Shukracharya was arguing, don't surrender 3 paces of land, because this is Lord Vishnu, and he'll not just take 3 paces of land, with those 3 paces he'll take everything. I mentioned this already. And if he takes everything, then you'll have nothing. And if you have nothing, you can't perform your household duties, which require something, for the performance of the yajnas necessary for householders. You have to have something. So on that principle, don't do it, because you have to keep something. And so his argument is the material principle of dharma, artha, kama, moksha is superior to surrender to Lord Vishnu, which is backwards. They're subordinate to assist one to come to the position of surrender to Lord Vishnu. To see to this, quote, if a religious principle does not affect one's material condition, it is to be accepted. That was his argument. You can do whatever you like as long as your material duties, according to Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, are not interfered with. If your material duties, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, are interfered with, then you should reject. That was his pratikul anukul principle, a standard, rather. At the present time, in this age of Kali, this is extremely prominent. No one is prepared to accept any religious principle if it hampers their material prosperity. What's number one? Wealth. Something that interferes with wealth, you reject it. Something that enhances wealth, you accept it. That's your religious principle. Shukracharya, being a person of this material world, did not know the principle of a devotee, of devotion. A devotee is determined to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead to his full satisfaction. Anything that hampers such determination should certainly be rejected. This is the principle of bhakti, anukul yasya sankalpa, pratikul yasya varjanam. To perform devotional service, one must accept only that which is favorable and reject that which is unfavorable. Bali Maharaj had an opportunity to contribute everything he possessed to the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadeva. But Shukracharya is putting forward a material argument to hamper this process of devotional service. Under the circumstances, Bali Maharaj decided that such hindrances should certainly be avoided. In other words, he decided immediately to reject the advice of Shukracharya and go on with his duty. Thus, he gave all his possessions to Lord Vamanadeva. So, yeah, in the Pratikul section, there's one song where this gets really up there, but what Bhaktivinod Thakur expresses in the song is that he's accepting the perfection of his spiritual practice to be in the mood of a manjari, a female associate of Radha. And so Pratikul, he rejects this male idea of being an enjoyer. And in its place, he more favorably accepts the principle of this Siddha Purush, but actually it's the Siddha Purush is not in the enjoyer Purush, but in the spiritual attainment of his Manjari form. And there are some other songs. After Anukul Pratikul, tomorrow evening, there's Siddha Lala Sa and Bhajana Lala Sa. So, some very, very high understandings are expressed. But there's some nice songs, Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya, Kabhi Habi Bolo Se Din Amar. Those songs come from Sharanagati also. So we'll sing those. So we've done the Pratikul section. Actually, there's one other thing I want to do, and that's some from the Prapada Jivanamrita, some expressions by exalted devotees that are espousing or speaking their position of rejecting unfavorable things. Here's Lord Rishabhdev. One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, father, husband, mother, or worshipable demigod, in case you were thinking of becoming a worshipable demigod. You shouldn't think of doing that unless you can deliver dependents or mother, father, spiritual master, teacher, unless you can deliver dependents. King Kulashekar. King Kulashekar is one of the Alvars in the Sri Sampradaya, and he wrote some very wonderful prayers. Here's one of them. Do not let me even see those who are bereft of devotional service in Krishna consciousness and are therefore devoid of pious activities. Do not let me hear narrations which are devoid of the descriptions of your personality, O Madhava, Lord of the earth. Do not leave me without the association of your devotees. Here's another one. The speaker is Sarvagya. O Supreme Lord, your devotee considers the mighty ocean as a small vessel of water, the great sun as a mere firefly, lofty Mount Meru as a clump of earth, the emperor as a servant, precious touchstone as a piece of broken rock, desire trees as wood, material desires as a heap of straw, and even disregards his own body as a burden. In this way, your devotee considers all unfavorable things for devotional service to be insignificant. It's a long list for these. Yogic Brahmanas. Yogic Brahmanas from the 10th canto, when Krishna was hungry, so he sent cowherd boys, see if you get something for us. From the yogic brahmanas who said, go away, you're spoiling this ceremony. And the wives immediately dropped everything and prepared foodstuffs for Krishna. So afterwards, the yogic brahmanas realized, we're very foolish and our wives are very exalted. They know the conclusion of the scripture, and we are too much attached to our rituals to even understand what just happened. So they were praising their wives. To hell with our being born brahmanas. To hell with our learning all Vedic literatures. To hell with our performing great sacrifices and observing all the rules and regulations. To hell with our families. To hell with our expert service and performing the rituals exactly according to the description of the scriptures. To hell with it all. For we have become opposed towards love for the Supreme Personality Godhead, who is beyond the speculation of our body, mind, and senses. Last one is Jad Bharat, speaking to King Rahugana. This is a nice one. My dear King Rahugana, unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, one cannot realize the absolute truth. One cannot realize the absolute truth simply by observing celibacy strictly following the rules and regulations of household life, leaving home as a vanaprastha, accepting sannyas, or undergoing severe penances in winter by keeping oneself submerged in water, or surrounding oneself in summer by fire and the scorching heat of the sun. There are many other processes to understand the Absolute Truth, but the Absolute Truth is only revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee. And there's more, another page more. Oh, Prabodhananda Saraswati. Gotta read this one. He Chaitanya Chandramrita is glorifications of Lord Chaitanya. I would rather live in a cage surrounded by blazing fire than associate with persons who are opposed to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even if I don't attain the slightest taste for a particle of dust of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, still my mind will not aspire for a position in Vaikuntha, even if it manifests before me. Prabodhananda Saraswati. Anyway, more. So, this principle of rejecting things unfavorable to the attainment of devotion for Krishna is very important. So now we'll go to the next song, and this is a fairly well-known song, Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajana Anukula. Some of you know this song. Okay, so you have your song sheets ready?
Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajana Anukula Bhakata Seva
Jiva Nasata Kama
first line, Charanarenu, a particle of dust from the lotus feet of the pure devotee. Prahlad Maharaj also in his prayers says that one has to achieve that if one wants to achieve the stage of pure devotion for Krishna. So the translation, dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee is conducive to devotional service, while service to the Vaishnavas is itself the supreme perfection and the root of the tender creeper of divine love. I observe with great care the holy days like Ekadashi, which is tomorrow. Tomorrow is Ekadashi. So if we're going to follow the path of Sharanagati, with great care we should observe such holy days as Ekadashi and Janmashtami, for they are the mother of devotion. As my dwelling place, I choose with great reverence and love the transcendental abode of Sri Krishna. All those places where my Lord Gaurasundara traveled for pastimes, I will visit in the company of loving devotees. My mind always begs for the opportunity to hear the music of the mridanga. Upon hearing the kind of kirtan ordained by Lord Gauranga, my heart dances in ecstasy. Beholding the deity forms of the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, I will feel the greatest joy. By honoring the Lord's prasad, I conquer over all worldly illusions. Goloka Vrindavan appears in my home whenever I see the worship and service of Lord Hari taking place there. When I see the Ganges, that river of nectar emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord, my happiness knows no bounds. The sight of the holy Tulsi tree soothes my soul.